Hello, and welcome to the General Knowledge Force. It's your main man, Kevin. On today's episode, we're going to go into the answer to all your dreams. You guessed it. We're going into how to find your own happiness. And not only are we going to talk about this, but we actually have a new special guest, Dr. Michael Leone. Dr. Mike, what would you like to share about yourself?
Howdy, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dr. Michael Leone. I'm a chiropractor in the Northern Kentucky area. I also teach at Northern Kentucky University. And the best credential I have for this podcast is I have a good time with just about everything that I do.
Amen. All right, everybody. Get pumped, get ready, get excited for this journey to really unfold. Hello, 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 everybody. It's your main guy, your main dude, your main pal, Kevin, here with my best friend, Shane. Shane, want to say hello to everybody?
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
All right, all right. Oh, and before I forget, I also have our special guest here, Dr. Michael Leone.
Woo!
Say hello.
Howdy, folks. Dr. Mike here.
Hey. All right, all right. So for this episode, we're going into Mike's favorite topic, finding your happiness, or we're also calling it healing from the inside out. Woo, that's a big topic. So, Dr. Mike, What inspired you to kind of want to talk about this today?
Kids, don't smoke crack. Okay, now that we got that out of the way, Kevin.
Okay. So I know happiness, you know, this is a big thing. Everyone talks about it. Everybody wants it. Everyone wishes they could buy it. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, social norms when it comes to happiness. Like every corporation wishes that they could just, you know, sell you, you know, a bottle of vodka and that, oh yeah, this is what gives me happiness, or maybe some drugs, or maybe some
candy.
Yeah, absolutely. Back to our sugar episode that we did. Or even like fast food. And I feel like that's the big issue. Like everyone thinks that it's always an external matter.
Yes.
Like everybody's hunting for that external dopamine response.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's crazy just how far these corporations will go in order to influence that on you. Yeah. Like through social media, they'll even pay like popular, you know, people that people commonly follow. They'll pay them, oh, hey, advertise this product, or like, oh, get jacked out of your mind. And so you can help us sell this product so people will actually exercise. And it's all, and it's because people think, oh, well, if I'm like shredded out of my mind, of course, that means I'm happy, right?
Not necessarily.
Wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right? And that's the thing. You'll see these people that are shredded that aren't happy. You'll see people that are rich that aren't happy. I've heard of people that are rich that have lived like these really rich lives and have committed suicide. And that's crazy. Like from
all the time.
Like how many musicians have done that and how many like corporate oh goodness, there's so many people.
Like Kurt Cobain.
Dude from Green Day. Not Green Day. Shit, what's
Linkin Park.
Thank you. That's Chester, the right one. Yes.
Chester Bennington, yeah.
Oh my
Chris
gosh.
Chris Cornell, you know, the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah, so. Right? And people were always like, oh, well, if I was that musician, then my life would be so much better. You know, if I was able to get that record label, my life would be so much better. If my booty was extra thick, man, my life would be so much better.
Right. And that's what is so problematic in today. We assign happiness to a goal. It's always what's next in front of you. You know, someone puts a goal at you at work, or you want to get down to a certain body fat percentage, or you want to look like this, and you never get to that point, because once you do, you move it a little further, and you move it a little further. So we always think that happiness is going to be on the next side of a goal. It's going to be after you reach something, where it doesn't work like that. Happiness is an inside job.
Exactly. You know, it's not like a tree branch. You see that branch, you're like, oh, if I could just hold on to it, I could just hang on, and then I'd be happy. But the thing is, the further you go to reach for it, the farther it gets away.
Right.
Because you're so focused on this external thing, and you're so focused on letting the world tell you what defines your happiness.
Yes.
And that's you know, as a whole, like, that's the main thing. So many people want to tell you what makes you happy.
Right.
And don't get me wrong, plenty of people ask that too. Like, oh, what can I do to be happy? You know, what is happiness? And a lot of people define that as being like successful. Like, oh, if I have this crazy job, that being successful means I'm happy. But it's not at all what it is.
Right, right. And happiness, you know, if you start it from the inside and let your actions flower from your happiness, that's where it truly comes from. But I really think in today's technological age, how common is depression, anxiety, all of these things, which, Yes, there are brain chemistry things involved, but in the technological world we have, you have everyone else's life at your fingertips and what you think life is, and you're comparing yourself to it.
Exactly.
Like social pressures.
Right, mm-hmm. right. So it's everyone else putting on to you what you should be doing that gives you an expectation. And it's not meeting an expectation that is where the letdown comes from. You're not good enough. You're not doing this.
It almost feels like everybody just kind of like searches on the outside and asks other people what's going to make them happy, and they never stop to ask themselves what's like what makes me happy. Like what makes me happy, and they never figure it out, and they're constantly looking for these external things. And it's just like, it kind of goes back to this like book that I really like. It's called The Missing Piece. It's a little children's book. It's fucking wonderful because it's all about like this guy and like these shapes trying to like find other shapes and other like entities basically to fill the voids that they have within themselves.
Okay.
And so like it basically is like teach it's like a lesson to teach you not to be codependent with people and to like stop, look at yourself, like round out your own corners and flaws and become a whole person by yourself. And find your happiness by asking and like fixing your own flaws that you see, like just everything. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. That goes towards like, you know, relationships.
Right.
That's where you can really connect that dot. Like, so many people will, you know, find a girlfriend or boyfriend and try to really latch onto them because they aren't whole. They feel like having this, you know, this person that they perceive as a great boyfriend or girlfriend is what's going to make them happy. It's what's going to make them feel whole. But in the reality, that person can never do that for you. And people will try to put that expectation on that other person. But that person is in itself a human being. You know, as human beings, we are limited by our own consciousness, by what we can actually do. And you asking someone to not only be whole themselves, but to be whole for you, to help fill in the gap for yourself, is just like unfair and unrealistic.
Absolutely. It is an unrealistic, unfair.
Unfair request. Is such a great word, because if you don't fully establish who you are first and you enter into a relationship, then essentially your actions are lying to your partner. Because they're falling in love with someone that doesn't exist.
Right, like, yeah, you're like, you got a facade. You're like, I'm maybe this person,
right?
But I don't know who I am, actually. Right. So, like, I have to put up this front, and then eventually you're like, man, that ain't me.
Right.
And then your relationship goes downhill, because the other person's like, who is this person?
Yeah, right.
And you're like, I don't know. I don't know either.
That's crazy. Oh my gosh. But it's very, very true that people will just put up these fronts, or what I like to say is people put on masks or play a persona.
How perfect. Masks. Yes. We're talking masks.
Yeah. 2020. So many people wear masks. Like, even in like the work, like especially in like work life and in relationships, people were like, you go into work, you put on a face that says, I'm happy all the time. I'm so happy to serve you. I'm so happy to be here for you. I'm so happy to just be here and exist in this establishment. When in reality, you're still dealing with the fact that you got no sleep last night and you feel miserable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rather than you'd rather just put this mask on and play this, again, this follow this expectation that's being put on you, rather than being your full, authentic self.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think part of what drives that in our society is we are so efficiency driven. You know, we talked earlier about goals. There's always a goal set for you. But because of that, we're always trying to do something for someone else. We're always trying to fix and be, you know, the best for others, that we don't first figure out what's best for us. Work on ourselves first and then go from there.
Exactly. And that's such a hard to ask, too. Like, right. A lot of people, when you walk up to a random person, you say, have you really worked on yourself today?
Right.
Huh. I don't really know how to answer that question. Right. I mean, I ate breakfast today.
Yeah.
I woke up. I went to work. Does that mean I've worked on myself? Right. Yeah, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But does that mean that you're finding yourself? You know, like, in order to reach... I feel like reach is the wrong word. In order to experience happiness, you have to understand you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well said, Kevin.
Because I was just like, I can't say running. That's saying it's a goal. It is not a goal.
Right.
Absolutely not. Like.
Right.
I mean, it could potentially be viewed as a goal because you would really want to be happy. But the issue is, happiness is relative to the individual. And nobody has this, like, the right answer for everybody. And, like, it's not a one-size-fits-all thing. Like, you really, really got to understand yourself. Let's figure out what you like, what you don't like, what you enjoy doing. Like, whatever it is. Like, if you like helping people, you like to build things, you like to do X, Y, Z. Figure it the fuck out.
Yeah.
And then maybe you'll be like, man, when I do this all the time, I feel a lot better.
Yeah.
And like, I don't feel like I'm grinding at work all the day. Like, it's just like, you don't want to drone when you do something. Like, when you're doing something like that, that you don't enjoy constantly, it just like becomes your normal. And you're like,
yeah. And I bet it's really weird. You're just like, huh, I'm doing this thing that everyone says I should be happy about, that my whole life I've been told I should do, and I'm doing it, but I don't like it.
Right. You're like, I got this badass job, I'm getting paid nice, but the stress from work is fucking insane. I don't know, and like, nobody helps, like, you're just locked down, you're like, like freaking out, even though you got a really good job compared to everyone else.
Yeah.
But is the money worth the stress and pain that you're going through?
That, or even you don't, maybe you just even don't like the work itself.
Right. No, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, that's, you wouldn't view it as work if it was something you enjoyed.
Yes. So I was going to say, if we looked at this and we just said, okay, what's the opposite? Because it's always easier to learn for me if you just say, what would be the opposite way of doing this? If you find yourself first and you figure out, hey, I do like to build stuff. I've noticed that that is what makes me happy. And you build, and you build yourself. Build. I didn't mean to do that. But if you work on yourself first and find what makes you happy, then you stop working after that. You stop grinding after that, and you let your actions be a manifestation of who you are instead of the other way around.
Dude, you brought it up. You said the word manifestation. Yeah. Dude, I totally am about that. I know lately, every single night I've been listening to those manifestation videos on YouTube that go into like how to condition your subconscious, and man, it's all about just like, oh hey, how do I manifest this one thing, this one experience? Well, that could be like happiness, it could be being rich, it could be being an alpha male, it could be just having confidence. How do you kind of perceive that and manifest it and conjure it into your life? And that really leads me into the subconscious. How our subconscious really plays a huge role in our lives. You know, like the reason why you can drive casually and just zone out is because your subconscious kind of takes over. You know, why is it that I just do these habits without thinking about it? Why do I feel these feelings when it doesn't make sense? All because your subconscious is fueling you so much. And, you know, you really want to condition your subconscious, kind of like feed it. Like, I know, as you were saying earlier, it's like a little child.
Oh, dude. Well, the subconscious mind is the first thing that develops in a human being. It's like the impulsive, reactive thing that children do. It's like the first thing that gets their subconscious development. It takes a long time for the frontal lobe to actually develop and achieve that conscious mind. So, that's factual information. So, like, whenever little kids, like, run around seeing things, just experiencing the world, just everything goes, like, they're putting everything in their mouth. They don't know how to do anything. It's just pure impulse. And, like, that's the subconscious mind acting.
Just taking over.
Like, whenever, like, they don't get their whatever at the store and they start throwing a fit because they're just pissed. It's just subconscious mind fueling pure emotional thought. Like, bam, driving all of their actions.
So how do they lose that as they get older?
So it's not necessarily they lose it. It's that they start to developing as a person in like the capacity of their own mind. They start developing conscious thoughts, their own thoughts and opinions on things. It's not just, oh, I'm experiencing the world and taking in information. You're actually formulating opinions on stuff, making routines and starting to be like, oh, if I do this, this is what happens. And you start understanding the development of like a child being able to lie is an extremely good like mental like checkpoint for them. It's showing that they're developing a conscious mind.
Mind blown. That's what we call a mental explosion, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, baby. Thank you for that, Shane. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and give us a quick break right now to share a little bit of a message from us. Hey, didn't see you there.
So, I've got one question for you. Do you hate ads? Oh, wow. Me too. Sounds like we already have a lot in common. Here on the General Knowledge Force, Shane and I are committed to a zero-ad podcast platform. But in order to keep this up, though, we unfortunately do need your help. All that we humbly ask is that you like, follow, subscribe, and share to help us really get this podcast going. Now, if you want to go a step further and become a super-duper awesome pants, consider becoming a patron on our brand new Patreon. Here, you can get access to our official Discord server, have live chats with Shane and of course, vote on the next topic in our podcast. Guys, thank you so much for your time. Now let's get back to it.
And we're back. And to kind of go with what you were saying, Shane, I feel like, yeah, that's the huge thing. Like the subconscious mind and how it relates to emotion. You know, those immediate impulses that you always feel. And I feel like so many people in the modern day just try to throw those away. You know, anger, sadness, depression. What can I do to get rid of that?
Right, they like try to filter it out or bottle it up, just push it down inside themselves, and then they don't realize that all that bottled up emotion is like poisoning them from the inside.
Exactly. I know, like, even in my own past, when I worked at my old job, there were several times where I was upset or bothered, and I would just be like, you know what, I gotta be professional. I gotta be able to deal with this, I gotta be able to deal with this abuse, and be able to keep going and keep pushing.
But I'm sure you were like, fuck these motherfuckers.
Yeah, oh my gosh, in the back of my mind, absolutely. And I remember there was one time where, like, after just dealing with so much pain, there was one time where I just went to the bathroom and I, like, cried for like 5 minutes because I was just so overwhelmed with just like holding it in so much and just constantly just being like, oh, okay, sounds good. You can only let us like get bashed and say sounds good so many times and just like be mistreated consistently before it just absolutely just blows up in your face.
Right, and you just shatter. Everything breaks.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh.
And I realized in that moment that I was fighting to be the ideal employee. Like what I perceive to be the ideal employee, not to be who I am. And that's the huge thing. Like going back to what we were saying earlier, like who are you? By fighting who you are, you might be following, you know, these expectations, what people will say you should be, but you're just going to cripple yourself more and more and more. And emotions are actually very good for you. And it's important for you to look at them and understand what they actually are.
What's your take on this, Dr. Mike?
My man. I think part of the human struggle, like very inherent to humans that is difficult, is we have emotion, but we have logic. And the two don't have to be, you know, one or the other, but we try to justify our emotions, which is a big thing. We have emotions, but, you know, oftentimes being logical beings, we think, why am I feeling this way?
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes you want to say, oh, I don't feel this way. Or
I shouldn't
feel this way. But just, it is so calming to just realize you have emotion and just have them. You don't have to justify them sometimes.
Very true. Because I feel like, you know, if you didn't have those emotions, if you didn't have fear, if you didn't have excitement,
you're a sociopath.
Well, I wasn't going to go that far. I was going to say...
I've been called worse.
I was going to say, if you don't have that, you aren't human. You know, what defines us to be different from the machines that we're surrounded by?
Yeah.
Like, all these smart devices, these computers, these things that can, like, you know, process information that, like, what, like, 20 times that we can possibly comprehend?
Well, far,
like,
yeah.
Like, way further than that. Just, like, way better than us. When it comes to that, like, what makes us human? What is something that we have that they could never have? And that's emotion.
Right. Right. And things always come back to the balance, too, right? There's a balance in everything. It's always shades of something. It's never one or the other. So, on one hand, you can't just live your life based off of your emotion and just everything's emotion. You always follow your emotion.
Oh, my. Very,
you can't
very
just
true.
Do that. But you also can't just try to logically justify every emotion that you have and be rigid and throw your emotions away. So that's where everything, in my opinion, gets difficult in life, is there's a balance. There's always a balance to something.
Absolutely.
It's like, never black and white. There's right. always a gray area. Right. Everything is relative.
Everything, yeah. Right. And like let's say like you're angry. You know, when someone's angry and you act on that anger, you know, you're not really portraying yourself. You're just, you know, you might have some issue. There's something that's bothering you. And you being angry and releasing that onto someone else or something else is your way of trying to avert yourself from your own issues and putting it on something else.
Yeah.
And that's why in those moments when you're angry, you have to really ask yourself, why am I angry?
Right.
And it's probably because you were hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Something hurt you.
Yeah.
And anger stems from depression and sadness. Like something hurt you so much that you feel like anger is the only thing. And like, why did that one thing hurt you in the first place? And it's because it's something that made you feel like you didn't have any worth. Something that made you actually think like, wow, I don't mean anything. And the only way to solve this problem is to just be angry and explode.
Or dip into the bottle.
Or dip into the bottle. Or do some drugs.
Something. Some sort of like escape mechanism. Like you're just trying to run away.
Yeah. And it really, and like what I'm trying to get to is, at the end of that whole equation, you have to think, what defines my own worth?
Yes. And I hate to get circuitous, but it goes back to that finding your why, because if you're basing your self-worth based on what someone else tells you, then you're unhappy. You're allowed to be unhappy with your own values, but that's where you make changes and you base your next decisions off of it. But yep. if you base everything else off of extraneous values that someone put on you, you're never going to be happy. I could go on a tangent all day about living from the inside out. You know, I'm a chiropractor. Our whole thing is the body heals itself. We just help the body heal itself. But a big thing that we do is we educate people. We tell them your body heals itself. Things come from the inside out. Your emotions should be the same thing. Your mental health should be from the inside out. You should find that internal drive, that who you are on the inside, and let it push you along your life journey and not extraneous coming in. So the outside in approach that we're bombarded with.
Absolutely. Constantly, yeah. Every day. That's like what we're constantly told growing up, like do X, do this, do this, do that, and then you'll be happy. You have to be able to find a significant other, you'll like be a man, like whatever, find your person, get a house, get a job, have kids, yeah. and then retire, and then you're happy. And yeah. it's like, hold on, wait, what? Is that the formula?
Right.
Or is that it? Like, yeah. or are there variables that can be changed in this formula? Is house like X? Can you replace that with something else? Is it relative to somebody? Like, can you change up the equation? Is it dead set? And as of right now, we found out that like that dead set equation isn't necessarily correct, right?
Yeah. Right. What if you're happier without a partner?
Right. That could totally be the case.
There are people that just don't like being in a relationship because they don't like having to be with someone else. They prefer just to be the independent life.
Everyone expects like a married couple to have kids, but what if like they don't want to have kids, and that's like the life they chose, and they want to, like, you know, like that's how they want to live their life, and that's what makes them happy. It's like not necessarily like, oh, you had your kids and you're like, I love my kids and da 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 da, and they make me happy. It doesn't necessarily mean another person wants kids and that's what's going to make them happy.
Exactly. Absolutely. And so I feel like I'm going to say this again. It's so important to kind of figure out what you want.
It's the most important, the absolute most important. That's why we keep jumping back onto it, is because it is so fucking important. And if it wasn't, we wouldn't be circumnavigating all the way back to it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. And I need to go back because I keep bashing technology, which is ironic because we're sitting here on a podcast.
Yeah, right.
That people, you know, across the pond can listen to. But it's really, to me, a medium that can either give you good or it can give you bad if you use it to express who you are. So all that inside out garbage we keep talking about, that's not garbage.
It ain't no garbage.
It is not garbage at all. Now, what are some of the practices that you can do to kind of look on the inside?
Oh, this is like, yes. Because we can always just sit here and talk. hey, find yourself. Thanks.
Cool. How do I do that? How do I pull that off?
Right. That's great. For me, I think meditation is huge, but my logical side likes to write things out in journal. So for me, finding yourself. How do you find yourself? Big thing, try to leave behind that inflated sense of self that you already have. I am this because I accomplished X, Y, and Z. Put the accomplishments aside and look in your recent past and say, who have I been? And you can logic, you can write this down on a piece of paper, you can journal it, whatever, and you can say, what made me happy in the past month? What characteristics did I demonstrate in the past month? Who was I in a face of conflict? Who was I in a face of power? How did I respond to my external environment in the recent past? And then when you look at that and you're like, man, building something made me really happy. Or helping someone else really made me happy. Even if you did it just one time, you will remember the things that you enjoyed. So look at those things of where your past was and the way that your internal being reacted to them. And also, you know, I don't like to live in the past, but it gives you, you know, the chart of where you've been. But now where are you going next? Think of the person you want to be. My grandmother, when I was a little kid, she literally would sit us down as children and say, what's your favorite thing about your cousin Drew? What's your favorite thing about your sister? Write down your top three favorite things about people you admire and figure out what are the qualities that they have that you like. If you look at them and you go, man, I really like Kevin because he has a sexy beard. or Shane's hair is gorgeous. These are podcasts, so you guys might not know this, but they're gorgeous.
Thank you, sir.
thanks.
You are gorgeous as well.
But what personality traits do people that you admire possess and why? And when you look at personality traits that you like, you can say, oh, I want to have those too. I want to demonstrate those things too. So now you have a roadmap of what you liked in the past. You have a roadmap of things that you want to be in the future. And you can start actively putting those in motion day in and day out.
Yeah.
And like, don't feel like you're stuck ever because you were dealt a bad hand in life.
Mm-hmm.
You should always be able to conduct yourself in a way that you can hold your head high and be an honorable person no matter what hand you were dealt in life.
Absolutely. Because that's the thing, like, just because something bad happened to you,
that doesn't define you.
Right.
Absolutely not.
Everybody can change. Everybody can grow and progress. It's just a matter of whether they want to or not.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. A lot of people are like, if something bad happens to them, but that's it. Like, they're just cursed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the truth at all. It's just a part of life. In life, all of us deal with insane hardships.
Right.
And I know all of us have. But to jump into the next topic, I really want to like go into living in the present moment and meditation.
Yes.
I will rant all day, every day about meditating and how it's so good for you. And
this is why I want to live like a hermit.
Yeah, right? Yeah, so you can kind of just lose track of time.
Absolutely.
Like, because that's the thing. Like, as human beings, you know, the ability for us to look in the past and future is a gift and a curse. It's a gift for all the reasons that Michael just told you, but it's a curse because we will live in those states for way longer than necessary.
Right.
I think it's important to use them for your pros, but you need to be able to, once you've been able to assess those things, really allow yourself to be present.
Yes.
Every meditation guru, every like the monks over in Tibet, you know, they'll tell you to focus on the breath. And just, I personally would recommend, I know there's tons of meditation apps out there that you can download on your phone that really help you really just disconnect from the world and allow you to really go inside. And it's kind of hard to explain the sensation of being in that meditative state, but I can guarantee it's unlike anything that you've experienced before. Being able to just be in a state where nothing matters anymore. And only thing that matters is what's in you. And how there is a universe that is within yourself. You just have to look in there and find it.
Absolutely. And if that might sound a little hippie, which I'm all about.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you want to even just break that down logically, in the present state that you're in right now, in the present, there is no emotion. Emotion is always a reaction to something that has happened already. So in the present state, You can't possibly have an emotion of what's going to happen or an emotion of something that already happened. And the right now, you don't have emotions. The emotions are reactive to something that happened, or they are developing an emotion of something that will happen. So if you can tap into that meditative state that has been, you know, how many, that idea is not new.
Yeah, right? Yeah. All right. And it's, and like with that emotion that you feel, like, let's say you combine that with meditation, like, oh, I'm angry, so I'm going to meditate. A common practice is to just kind of recognize that emotion and try to look at it from a third person perspective and be like, okay, I am feeling this emotion. Where in me am I feeling this emotion? And really try to understand why you feel this way.
I feel like a lot of people like view meditation like kind of a little weird too. Like you're just sitting there going, oh, and like just chilling, trying to clear your mind or whatever. But I feel like it's a very like beneficial tool to actually focus on one particular thing and try to break it down without thinking about anything else. Kind of isolate the issue and break it apart.
Yeah. And like, don't get me wrong, with meditation, you cannot clear your mind. You know, exactly. I would love to be able to be like, oh, bam, here you go, woo! But no, that's just not how it goes. When you try to meditate and you focus on the breath, good luck spending 10 seconds without thinking of something else at least once. Your subconscious mind always feeds thoughts into your head. So don't try to create that expectation for yourself. Meditation is supposed to be an environment without judgment. If you try to meditate and you find that you're thinking about that meal you're about to have in like 20 minutes, fine. At least you tried. The whole point is that as time goes on, the practice will naturally become natural to you and you'll become better and you'll be able to be in a meditative state through your actions in your life. And through that, you can fully live in the present moment and fully experience your life to the fullest. And I feel like in those moments when you can really experience it, where you can really just live it, just live your life, those are the moments where you really will experience the happiness that you've spent so long to try and understand. Great. All right, so we're about to hit our time limit. Dr. Michael Leone, is there any 2 cents that you want to share with everybody before we wrap this up?
Love is not a characteristic, it's a way of life. I don't know, that just hit me. So yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
Fantastic. Shane, how about you?
I think we pretty much touched everything we needed to touch today in the allotted time frame.
Absolutely. Thank you. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for hopping on here. I know Shane and I have an absolute blast making these podcasts, and Dr. Michael Leone, I hope that you'll come back again.
Yo, thanks so much for having me, y'all. This is great.
All right.
Thanks for coming, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for coming. We're so pumped for our next episode next week. All right, guys, have a wonderful, wonderful day, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.